My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute here in Washington. We've asked him to offer his thoughts to this point of the president's trip to the Middle East, particularly his public statements with Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as his visit to the West Bank to visit with Mahmoud Abbas and his comments to students at an Israeli university later on Thursday. And Mr. Ambassador, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thanks. Glad to be with you again.
Well, usually the press is pretty favorable towards President Obama, but some of the newspapers in Israel were wondering why he was there, given the status of the relationship, and they weren't sure exactly what his message was on this mission. From the best you can tell, what is that message?
Well, this is a trip that's very rare in the sense that the public opportunities that the president has are about as divorced from the real substance of the private conversations as you can imagine. I think publicly, there's no doubt that the president wanted the photo opportunities and the appearance of smoothing over the difficulties that he's had in his personal relationship with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and also trying to smooth over some of the difficulties in the bilateral relationship between the two countries. And given the mainstream media's approach to the trip and the photo ops that he's had, I think he's done what he wanted to do in the short term from the optical or political point of view. But the substantive messages delivered privately are still very, very tough to Israel. Don't consider using military force against Iran's nuclear weapons program. Be prepared to make more concessions to the Palestinians. And, you know, for all of the oohing and aahing over what the president said publicly, he broke no new substantive ground publicly. So the gaps in the relationship and the problems with dealing with Iran and with the Palestinians, I think, remain essentially as they were before.
We know that the president at one point in his first term suggested going back to the pre-67 borders, and that obviously was immediately rejected by Israel, and there hadn't been much dialogue since then. Is that still his position, or what has he changed it to that we know of?
Well, I don't think he has changed it. I think that is his position. This is a good example of where the media were talking, even some conservatives, about a shift in Obama's position, because he didn't emphasize the importance that the Palestinians attach to freezing any new construction of Israeli settlements on the West Bank before negotiations begin. But, you know, objectively, that's still hewing to the Palestinian position. The Palestinians put themselves in a box by saying no negotiations with Israel unless, as a precondition, Israel stopped construction of new settlements. The consequence of that was no negotiations with Israel while Israel continued to build settlements. So from the Palestinian point of view, they're getting the worst of both worlds. And for the president now to de-emphasize settlements is simply common sense from the Palestinian point of view, and would then enable him, Obama, to put pressure on the Israelis to stop the settlements once the negotiations begin. So there's a good example of how his position, really his substantive position, remains more sympathetic to the Palestinians, even though at an optical level he appears to have changed his emphasis.
We're still at the point, of course, Mr. Ambassador, where there's two different sides to the Palestinian movement. You've got Fatah and Hamas, which don't see eye to eye. So how can the Palestinians, to use that general term, move forward in any way if they can't even agree what their own position is?
Well, I don't think there's any realistic possibility the peace process will move ahead. And that's why, again, people misinterpret President Obama's not calling for a new peace process as somehow tilting toward Israel. I think where Obama's really tilting is toward both reality and his own political reputation. You don't want to call for a new round of peace talks that are destined to run into the ground. But it was very interesting, I thought, that the president said at one stop that Secretary of State John Kerry would be investing a lot of his time in the effort. So I think Obama's made it clear he's not going to put political capital into peace processing, as they like to call it, unless he sees, I think, some greater prospect of progress. But he's perfectly prepared to have his Secretary of State waste his time on it and see what happens.
Well, some folks looked at the joint press conference between the president and Prime Minister Netanyahu, and while the president was certainly using it to talk about the strength of their relationship, despite all the difficulties over the past 4 years, that Netanyahu, in turn, used that to state essentially promises from the U.S. Towards Israeli security that Obama wasn't technically making. Did you see that in there as well?
Yeah, look, Netanyahu is a very experienced politician. He's not going to do anything in public either to underline the gaps in policy and substantive terms between the two countries. What he's going to try and do is, for his own political purposes in Israel, show that there's a good relationship with Israel's most important ally. Some would say its only real ally. But at the same time, to keep the pressure on Obama. And you can bet in their private conversations that Netanyahu gave no ground on the subject of the danger of Iran's nuclear weapons program, and didn't give any ground either on Obama's push to have him make more concessions for the Palestinians. So I think while the trip did have a positive political effect for Obama, it's going to be pretty temporary, would be my guess.
You mentioned before about the situation with Iran. The president pretty publicly in the last several days saying Iran's at least a year away from the bomb, or deployable one anyway. What's the message to Israel there, that they can't count on us for any sort of military backup if they do choose to strike within the next 12 months?
Yeah, don't take any military action because it would be precipitate, and don't look for us to be helping you out with it. I mean, the fact is the administration testified through its director of national intelligence just about 2 weeks ago now that they still think Iran hasn't even made a decision to build nuclear weapons. So obviously, since nobody builds a nuclear weapon by accident, that year period is actually much longer. It doesn't begin until there's a clear decision actually to build the weapon. Now, personally, I think that's just a complete misreading of what's going on in Iran. I think they made a decision 20 years ago that they wanted nuclear weapons and that they're actually a lot closer than a year. But they're not in a rush. They're not in a hurry to build that first nuclear weapon because they're not intimidated by the United States. Iran is building a very broad and deep nuclear weapons program that, as time goes on, will put them in a position to build many, many nuclear weapons, dozens and dozens, in a relatively brief period of time, which is what they really seek. That's the capacity they want to have, not just one or two nuclear weapons, but a whole arsenal of them.
Do we have a good idea how close they are? If the president's saying a year, I'm guessing Netanyahu believes it's less than that?
Yeah, Netanyahu has said he thought it was this spring or summer. Look, the long pole in the tent for any nuclear weapons program is enriching uranium, and we know from publicly available data that Iran already has enough low-enriched uranium, reactor grade, 3 to 5%, to build 6 to 8 nuclear weapons if they just enriched it up to weapons grade. By getting to reactor grade, they've done 2/3 of the work to get to weapons grade. And then you have to actually fashion the weapon. But they've been testing that for at least the past 6 or 7 years. So I think they could build, if they made a decision to go on a hurry-up basis, it would be a matter of 3 to 4 months.
Last question, Mr. Ambassador, a little bit off topic, but staying in the region. As the president arrived in Israel, there were a number of reports suggesting that chemical weapons were being used in Syria. Do you have any confirmation of any kind as to whether that's the case? And if it is the case, you've certainly got folks like John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and so forth who think that's the red line for the U.S. to get involved. And the president's even said so. Others say we don't have a concrete national interest in that fight. So what's your take on all this?
Well, I don't think we know yet whether chemical weapons were used. I must say the reports, even if you take them at face value, were one isolated incident. And one would think if either the regime or the opposition, for that matter, were going to cross that line of using chemical weapons, they would have had more than just one use. I mean, they're terrible weapons, but if you're going to use them and pay the political price for using them, you might as well have some impact on your opponent, and I don't see that yet. So I think we'd have to put this report as still unconfirmed. I think the U.S. interest here is very clear. We do not want those weapons exiting Syria, falling into the hands of terrorists like al-Qaeda that could use them against us and our friends and allies worldwide. That is the most important thing. I'm terribly sorry about the tragedy that Syria is undergoing, 70,000-plus civilians killed in the last 2 years, but the American national interest is in protecting against those chemical weapons being used against us or our friends by terrorist groups.
Often worrisome, but never dull in that part of the world, Mr. Ambassador.
That's for sure.
Thanks very much for your time, as always.
Thank you.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.